We are going to keep moving on. As I mentioned, we are only meeting today, so I want to try to get through as much as we can. Yes, Commissioner? Yes. Yeah, we will. Yeah. I'm looking at item 15 on the agenda. Secretary, are we okay from your team standpoint to move to item 15, Mountain Goat Action Plan?
We can, Lois. We move to 16, 17, 19, and come back to 15 if we have time because Chad is not here in the room, but the other presenters are here.
I appreciate that. Let's do that. We'll move to item 16, the Chinook Salmon Spawning Overview. Welcome.
Excuse me. Madam Chair, Secretary, members of the Commission, and Secretary Roebling. Well, I got my mic on. Move along here. Cueing me up. Thank you for the opportunity. I was going to give you an update on a little history of the Chinook Salmon Program and the results of the Chinook Salmon spawn this year.
And we'll just have you introduce yourself, too, for everyone listening online.
You bet. My name is Robert Hanton. I'm one of the fisheries biologists on the Missouri River. I primarily work on Lake Sharp, Lake Hawaii, and some of the smaller impoundments in the upper Missouri River management area. Is that clicker not working? Okay, yeah. Just to give you a little background, a little history of the Chinook Salmon Program on Lake Hawaii. Back in the 1970s, fisheries biologists on the Missouri River realized after creation of these big reservoirs that there was a large amount of cold water habitat that would make a prime opportunity to create a sport fishery and also introduce a cold water prey fish fishery, a prey fish, to introduce a prey fish to support that. They tried numerous different species. A lot of those didn't work, but in 1976, North Dakota introduced Chinook salmon into Lake Sakakawea. Those salmon survived passage through the dam and then were actually being caught and by anglers in South Dakota, and it created quite a stir, a lot of interest. South Dakota at that same time was pursuing different species, many of which didn't work. And at that point, with that interest, South Dakota decided to implement its own Chinook salmon program back in 1982. With that, they also started building a salmon spawning station up near Gettysburg, South Dakota, near West Whitlock Recreation Area. This station involved, we'll go over a little bit of it, but in 1984, they completed construction. This was a callback station for these salmon to return to, basically kind of cementing our direction with a dedication to a cold water program on Lake Hawaii. And since the 1980s, this actually has been really popular with anglers. What does this salmon fishery look like? Well, actually, it creates a really unique opportunity for our anglers to fish for a really hard-fighting sport fish. It's kind of interesting in Lake Hawaii. We all know that walleye is king. It's the most sought-after fish species, but our second most sought-after fish species by anglers is Chinook salmon. From 2023 Creel Survey, we found that 7% of our anglers were targeting and traveling to fish for Chinook salmon. Of course, walleye is number one, well over 85%. Remaining species make up the remainder of those percentages. And these anglers will travel a long ways to fish, over 200 miles one way to fish for Chinook salmon. The other opportunity for them is to travel to the Great Lakes or the West Coast. How do we maintain this population? Well, in the wild, of course, these are king salmon or fall run Chinook. They would actually live in the ocean, travel up, migrate back to their native streams, spawn, those eggs would lay in the gravel of a flowing stream, hatch, and then the cycle would begin in the ocean. Of course, we are a landlocked system on the Missouri River, and we have western muddy tributaries that dry up and freeze to the bottom in the winter. Therefore, there's no place for natural reproduction of Chinook salmon to occur. So we have to bridge that gap. And what you're seeing over on the left-hand side is the natural life cycle, the artificial life cycle that we bridge the gap by collecting those eggs, transferring those eggs to our hatcheries, both in the western part of the state, McNenny State Fish Hatchery, Cleghorn State Fish Hatchery, and Blue Dog State Fish Hatchery in the eastern part of the state for the production of hatching, raising, and then transporting those fish back to be stocked in Lake Hawaii, bridging that gap of that life cycle that we don't have in a landlocked system. And we have documented no natural reproduction of these fish when we do not stock. So not stocking these fish for 3 years in a row would mean no Chinook salmon available for anglers in the system. Quick tour of the station. How does it work? Again, this is located at West Whitlock Recreation Area or close to it. We actually operate like a big irrigator. We put together in the fall, starting in the middle of September, we bolt together pipe, we put together electrical wire, we push intakes into the water, and then we have a fish ladder that we also put together at that same time. Again, just like an irrigator, we pump water. We have two 30 horsepower electric pumps. We pump around 2,600 gallons of water a minute. And this water fills up the catch raceways, which the fish return. The water gravity feeds down the fish ladder where we put in aluminum slats that create a series of pools and jumps for those fish to navigate back up. And these salmon actually return to us. The spawn occurs in the building that's attached to those raceways. We sort those fish, the female salmon that are ready to spawn. We collect the eggs from those. The ones that aren't ready, we actually hold and catch raceways till they ripen up. That facility allows us the ability to do that, which increases our egg take capabilities. We do sort those fish, crowd them into basically a catch basin deal that we drop into a tank. We do euthanize these fish at the time we spawn them. These fish are at the end of their life cycle. In the wild, these fish would mature, find a location to spawn. After they spawn, they would die. These fish are so powerful that it's hard for our crews to work with, and since they are at the end of their life cycle, we use a CO2 tank to euthanize the fish and then collect the eggs and the milt from those during the spawning process and do the fertilization right at the salmon station. And then those eggs are water hardened and transported back to the hatcheries where the propagation and fish culture occurs. So how did 2024 go for us? I mean, what was our returns? What did they look like? Well, we started the actual pumps in September 18th. We had our first salmon up the ladder on October 2nd. 409 salmon returned on their own to us. They came up the ladder into our catch raceways. This is below the long-term average. We typically get just over 800 fish. Return to our station. We did supplement those numbers with electrofishing this year. We actually use a boat in back bays to find fish that are held up or collected where they would not probably make it back to our station. We collected just over about 911,000 eggs on our own. We did get additional help from North Dakota. These Chinook salmon programs, they have a similar one in North Dakota on Sakakawea and in Montana on Fort Peck. Over the 40 years these Chinook salmon programs have been going, we have worked as a tri-state work group because in years when one year state's run has been low, the other states can help out to make up the egg shortage and bridge the gap. No one state alone would have a Chinook salmon program if they went independent over the course of 40 years. With North Dakota's help, they provided, we sent a crew up, they provided an additional 715,000 eggs. We have over 1.6 million salmon eggs in our hatchery. It sounds like a lot of eggs, it is a lot of eggs. It's important to note that we are creating a sport fishery in a system outside their native range and native habitat, and the quality of those eggs is not as high as what you'd get out of the ocean for an ocean run fish. So approximately a third of those eggs will actually become fish. So we always have to overshoot our egg take numbers by about three times to achieve the number of fish we want to stock for the next year. In 2022, just looking at our stocking records, kind of explains why we had a low return of fish. In 2022, we only stocked 169,000 fish. And that lines up with these fish live 2 to 4 years, the majority are 3 years old before they return to us. And then a year of that is actually in the hatchery. So we had a low stock year, which meant a low return of fish to work with. 2023, 2024, you'll see our number of salmon that we stocked in Lake Hawaii greatly increased. Going forward, our long-term goals and our stocking strategies are to stock around 500,000 salmon. And with the number of eggs we collected this year, we should be able to hit that mark for 2025. Another real interesting part, unique and fun part of this is since the station up near West Whitlock, the salmon station's been open. During the month of October, we have public tours. These are great education outreach opportunities. I think this year we had 8 school groups that came through. Alone, just Eagle Butte School, they bring 100 of their own third graders. And it's really fun. We have a lot of fun with those guys. And that school has actually worked into their curriculum the salmon biology life cycle, where they've spent a week prior going through that life cycle, learning you know, how salmon naturally reproduce, how we do the artificial cycle, and they built it into their curriculum. And they finished it off with a tour of our station. So over the course of time, we've averaged about 600 visitors each season. Since we've started, we estimate just over 25,000 visitors have toured our station. So in summary, it's a long history of Chinook salmon program in South Dakota and actually in the upper two states beyond us. Second most targeted species. This year we collected over 1.6 million eggs, which should allow us to meet our stocking goals for 2025 and creates a unique education outreach. And I guess with that, if there's any questions.
Very good. Any questions from the commission or comments? Commissioner Locken.
Quick question I got to ask. How do you imprint them? How do you bring them back?
Yeah, through the chair.
Yes.
Actually, the imprinting is actually something that occurs since we fertilize these eggs and we transport them over to hatcheries that are 200 plus miles away from where the native water is. There is some form of a rough imprint that occurs when those fish are hauled in trucks. It creates a smoltification that allows them to return to the general area of where they're stocked. And we stock most of these fish near West Whitlock Recreation Area, and that's where the station is. That in itself, that part of the river was a natural collection point for Chinook salmon too, even before we started stocking our own salmon the North Dakota fish ended up in Whitlock Bay too. So it's not like an imprint that occurs in the ocean where they can come back to a stream, you know, where they were raised and hatched. So.
Additional questions or comments? Secretary Roebling.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just real quick, I wanted to invite all the commissioners. We will allow you to come and experience this for yourself. I did myself a couple of years ago, and it was quite fun to do so. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So if there's interest in actually going to the station, spawning some fish, please take advantage of that opportunity. It's typically in the middle of October. That's when we get into the heart of salmon spawning, and these great folks are awesome to work with. So I encourage you to do that next year.
Very good. Thank you, Secretary. Commissioner Whitmire.
And Commissioner Whitmire, thank you. Question on the, since it's October spawning, is that really work nicely with our, you know, we got the spring typically for walleye and perch, what have you, and then this is in the fall. Does that kind of allow fishery staff to kind of better utilize the facilities and whatnot? Yep.
Through the chair, yes, it really does. It fits very well into our schedule because our springing and activities for as fisheries biologists is already really busy with walleye spawns and a lot of other fisheries work. So yeah, it's an open time period where as a fisheries biologist we have more free time and it fits well into our work schedules.
Very fascinating. Good report. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And we may take you up on that, Secretary Roebling.